From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Los Angeles public school teachers began a historic strike on Monday for the first time in 30 years. The nation's second largest school district has refused to tap into its record reserve of $1.86 billion in order to reduce class sizes, hire more support staff such as counselors and nurses, and more. Up to 500,000 children are impacted, as more than 30,000 teachers, nurses, counselors, librarians, and other staff walk off their jobs, tired of 2 years of failed contract negotiations. Thousands of teachers and their supporters gathered on a cold and rainy day in downtown Los Angeles to launch the teacher strike on Monday. And as part of our ongoing series, Rising Up in the Streets, we bring you this report. It is Monday morning at right in front of City Hall in downtown Los Angeles on a very unusually cold and wet rainy day where tens of thousands of teachers are showing up on the first day of a historic strike. The United Teachers of Los Angeles are out in full force and they're tired of not having their demands from the district met. We're going to be talking to teachers, we're going to be talking to school counselors and other staff, and some parents and students as well.
We know that the money's there. All we want is what is there.
My name is Louise McLaurin, first grade teacher, LAUSD.
And why are you out here today? Tell us what's happening.
I'm out here today because in LAUSD, we are the 48th in the nation as far as class size. We are the 41st in the nation in California as far as per pupil spending. And we're the fifth largest economy in the world. Those numbers do not match up.
And so there is a very large reserve that the district is sitting on, and they are not willing to spend it to reduce class sizes. What else are teachers demanding? Because this strike, I understand, is not about teacher salaries.
It's absolutely not about teacher salaries. That is the last thing that we are looking at. We are looking at for the students, for the reduced class size. We're looking for teacher training. We're looking for counselors. We're looking for mental health psychologists. You know, we're looking for our future. And unless these things are taken care of, you know, it's less expensive to educate than incarcerate. And it seems like that message has been lost with the district at this point.
Can you give me a sense of conditions in the classroom that you deal with on a day-to-day basis that helps to illustrate the problems?
Well, I'll give you a physical description. There's a hole in my roof of my classroom. And there's 4 days of rain, so we're having to make sure that's repaired. We have students that need much more counseling and special ed support than they are receiving right now. Psychologists have to go from school to school to school. It's a situation that needs to be addressed. So that's really what I'd like to say, and I hope we get the support, and I hope this gets done quickly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name's Andy Dowdell. I'm the chapter chair at Fleming Middle School. You know, they've offered the teachers a little bit of money, but we're not here about the money for us. We're here to improve our conditions in our schools. And we want lower class size. That's a really big thing for us. We want to have more resources at the school. We need to have more nurses, counselors. Lots of programs have gone away at local schools, including ours. And it's time to make an investment in our schools again so we can bring them back up to the level our kids deserve.
So reducing class sizes means hiring more teachers.
That's right. It is going to cost some money, but they've got almost $2 billion in reserve, and there's more money coming from California. We're in a super, whatever they call it, democracy. Everybody's on board on this in California. I don't know why they can't work it out for us. So.
What do you think Austin Buettner's agenda is, sitting on this pile of money?
Well, Austin Buettner came into the job and he has a different idea. He's kind of like some of those people Trump's hired to dismember, to take apart these bureaucracies, and he's trying to do that to our district, and that's why we're here in the rain. We're standing up against that. We won't have us be piecemealed, split apart, have to compete with each other. We're public education. We need to be there for our kids and our families.
Does he have a privatization agenda?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, he wants to do what's happened in many cities around the country, New Orleans, New York, some of these places where they really hurt the public education by this competition and piecemeal, kind of breaking it up, having everybody compete with each other. That's not the way we should be doing this.
So there are nearly 500,000 kids, basically, that aren't at school today or aren't able to be at school today. What sort of solidarity are you seeing from your students and from their parents?
Well, you know, at our school, we were there when it was dark, and boy, we had very few kids come, and we had quite a bit of kids and parents on our line this morning. And boy, we walked down to PCH and everybody was honking and supporting us. So I know there's lots of people out here who are supporting the teachers and want us to be successful in what we're trying to do here.
So teachers could have just taken the raise and agreed to come back to school. What sort of sacrifice are you and others making? You're basically risking going without pay.
That's right. We're giving up pay every day, and we feel that it's well worth it. Even the money that was offered to us was not a real money. It's just for 1 year, and then it goes away. So we want a real thing on our salary schedule. We want to improve the quality of everything, not for us, but for the future generations. So we're going to have a teacher shortage. We need to draw people to LA Unified, not have them go elsewhere.
And do you think that this particular strike is part of a broader nationwide struggle over public education? There have been other strikes in other states and cities around the country.
I 100% agree with that. It's time that in America we stand up and we give a little more respect to our teachers and public education. My wife's from Germany. Over there, teachers have incredible prestige. They are beloved in their communities, and I think it's time for us to, you know, have a little more thinking about what teachers do and how important that is.
It is a very rainy day today. Do you feel that the spirit of yourself and other teachers is strong?
Teachers have a lot of backbone. You know, we get through all kinds of stuff. I am a middle school teacher for 29 years, so I've had to put up with all kinds of things, and a little bit of rain, that's nothing.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
Yes, my name is Juan Preciado, Dorsey High School alumni, public school raised. So I'm here in support of the parents, the teachers, and the students.
So you are a product of the public school system.
I am, and I'm also a Los Angeles County Commissioner on HIV and AIDS, and I work in public health as well. And these are all serious issues that are impacting our communities.
So why do you think there are teachers braving the cold and rain to be here today? How serious, as far as you can tell, how serious is this issue?
It's very serious. We're seeing it on several levels. We're seeing it in education, macro, micro, the privatization of public schools, healthcare. It's affecting our public school system. So we definitely want to allocate those resources to smaller class sizes, more nurses, psychiatrists, social workers. The ratios are out of control, and it's not healthy learning environments for our students.
Do you think that things have gotten worse since you were part of the school system, as far as you can?
Absolutely. I've been active since high school, and the same demands still stand. Overcrowding. We need more counselors. We need more resources in our classrooms.
Are you happy with the turnout today? Because I can tell it's not just teachers. There's lots of right non-teachers too.
Right on. It's a beautiful turnout. We have a lot of supporters. The movement has been growing. A lot of people have been using their resources, and as you see, it's effective. And we're out here, and we're not going to give up until the demands are met.
Can you tell us what your sign says, which is right now offering some protection from the rain and wind?
Sure, absolutely.
It's backwards. Says,
yeah, yeah. LAUSD, teachers and students deserve more. Deserve basic needs, just meet our basic needs. Yeah.
Do you think that because our schools are so chronically underfunded, that has repercussions in all of society?
Absolutely. We are cultivating youth to come. Our decisions today will impact seven generations to come. Native Proverbs has been seen with what we do to the earth, to what we do to our public education.
Sure, Greg Delger, LAUSD resource teacher, so I work with special ed kids.
What is your specific challenge? We've heard a lot about the fact that there isn't enough support for special ed kids.
Absolutely. Just the amount of resources, whether it's smaller class sizes or additional help as far as like human resources for therapy, to give the kids the proper support that they need to meet accommodations. So as far as like behaviors, so forth and so on, they need a little bit more for social emotional development.
And you just wish there were more of you that the district hired?
Well, I think when you have bigger class sizes, you're stressing the kids out too. It's not just the teachers, we're here for the students. You know, we want what's right for them, and we know that the district's been dragging their feet for some time. So we'll be better able to accommodate and work with our students if we get the help that we're asking for. This has nothing to do with salary and more money, so let's just get that straight right now.
I'm Brenda Brand, and I'm an adapted PE teacher.
And what does that mean?
That means I teach special ed PE. And I used to work for a special ed center where the kids, the special ed kids had their own sports teams, and they could experience what it's like to play on a team. But now the special ed centers are closed down, and instead we're opening up more charters in their place. So all the special ed kids have to be integrated into the general ed classrooms and drive the general ed teachers crazy because they're not equipped to deal with it. And so I'm here to protest a lot of the resources being given away to charter schools.
Sandra Sanchez, special education teacher. I don't want more support staff, also like nurses, full-time nurses, counselors for students in general, all the students.
Can you give me an example of what in your classroom, something that might have happened where had the district been supporting you, it would have been better for the child?
Well, not at this particular school, but at another school that I was at, we only had a nurse once a week. And so, it would have been a lot better because the students would have had a nurse because students in my class have a lot of issues that make health issues. So they may have health issues that need to be looked at by a professional.
You end up stepping in if the nurse isn't available? Who steps in?
Sometimes we call parents or they have healthcare assistants at some schools. We're also trained in certain things that we can deal with ourselves.
Why do you think the district isn't supporting more staff?
Well, we're here to get out the word that that's what we want them to do. Why they don't is not what I'm concerned about. I just want them to change their mind as to so that they will, because we need them and the students. And we're here to support our schools, the public schools, and we want the public schools to be staffed, fully staffed, and we want resources. We want resources in the classroom. A lot of teachers are, you know, paying for their own things in the classroom, supplies, and I think it's fair for the district to spend the money on the classroom.
Helen Allen Jackson, and special ed teacher.
Which school?
LeConte Middle School.
So tell me about the conditions in your classroom and why you think the district has failed you.
Well, we just, as my colleagues have said, we just definitely would like smaller class sizes because that helps us to be able to work with the students one-on-one.
How big is your classroom right now?
My largest class, I believe, is 17, but I understand that that's a federal issue, which probably nothing maybe could be done about that. However, we just need more help, more resources across the board. We need more nurses. We need more counselors. Our students come with a lot of baggage that they really need more help with. We are counselors. We are everything, and it is overwhelming at times, a lot of times.
So it's not just about getting paid fairly, it's about having enough support system so that when...
It definitely is about all of that. We do want to be compensated because that's important as well. I don't want to diminish that at all, but it's about everything. It is about the students. It is about the teachers. It is about the totality of it.
Does your workday end when you come home?
Absolutely not. You can ask my husband. Thank you.
Tell me what happens. What happens when you come home?
And that it never ends. I'm just always on the computer doing an IEP or lesson planning. It is really non-ending.
So not a 9-to-5 job.
It's definitely not 9-to-5.
And I agree.
Saturday nights doing IEPs till midnight.
Every time. Oh my God.
And are the parents with you on this?
We have a lot of parent support. I mean, of course, they definitely want their kids to get educated, which is, of course, fair. And, of course, they work and they need for their children to be in school. And we understand that as well. But they are supportive. Some of them may not be, because as long as this continues to go on, they will, of course, need to find somewhere for their children to go. And we understand that. And we're parents, and so we understand.
Thank you so much.
My name is Mike Fay, and I'm a teacher at LeConte Middle School, and I teach the special day program. I teach students to read who have dyslexia and other issues, and it takes about 1, maybe 2 years to really significantly improve their reading.
And what are the conditions, your work conditions like with an underfunded district?
Well, my program needs a computer component, and there's simply no money. I've been told there's no money for to replace the computers that have broken down in my classroom, so I can't run that part of the program right now. It's no fault of my local school administrators. It's simply they're not being given the money.
The district has a lot of money.
I don't know what the district finances are. I know that it's not acceptable what's being given to the schools. Also my supplies. There's simply no money for supplies at our school. There was some, but it's gone. And so I end up buying the supplies myself because I don't want to run a poverty program in my classroom. I think it's unfair. But my larger issues are about the whole school. I think our school is, we're trying really hard, but we're being set up to fail. I think we're being set up to fail by the decisions of the district and the school board. They've put a charter right on our campus, an elementary charter, and it takes the students away from us. They're a different demographic, and they want to keep it that way.
What do you mean by that?
Well, to be blunt, I will say that in my school, the students come in and they're 90% brown. And
the district wants to keep it that way, you said?
I don't know what the district's intention is, but I know that at the charter school that's on our campus, which is an elementary school, the students are 90% white. So the white kids go over there and the brown kids come to the public school. And the other school is being run like a private school on the public dime. So there are bigger issues. I think the charter school issue, unregulated charter growth, is really the biggest issue. I think it's going to destroy the district, and it's going to end up, just the district is going to end up a rump special ed district for the problem kids, while the rest of the kids do their isolated thing and don't learn how to get along in a democratic society. They just learn to think that they're, I don't know.
So when you said earlier that the district was setting the school up to fail, so that they could expand the charter schools?
Well, I think they're expanding the charter schools, not regulating the charter schools, not holding them to the same standard. It's common knowledge, and I've seen it firsthand, that students who struggle in school, who happen to be at a charter school, they get dumped out. They get dumped out and they get told, you have to go back to your home school, your public school. We can't deal with you. We don't have the resources.
The public school system can't do that.
No, and so that's, no, we don't, and we never even think about it. We think, what can we do for this, what can we do? We talk about it, we talk about them all the time. How can we help them? How can we involve the parents? How can we talk with them? We're all the time. Students who have low test scores, for whatever reason, get dumped out by the charter schools all the time.
When the public schools are judged by their test scores, that isn't accounted for.
Yeah, this is common knowledge in the public schools among the faculties that, eighth graders will show up just before the state testing, having had a meeting at the charter school where they were going, and their parents are told, we don't think our program is going to work out for you because you haven't been succeeding here. I think you need to go somewhere else where you're going to be more successful, which is your public school home, and goodbye. It happens every year. And then we're being stripped of funding. And every time a charter school opens, the funding that handles the fixed costs of the district is reduced. So a higher proportion of the cost of the expenses that or the revenue that could go to the schools goes to fund the fixed costs of the district. It's insidious, but it's part of a long-term plan. And I think we're a big target.
Special ed program?
No.
Just all public schools?
Union in particular, the teachers union. This is pretty common knowledge among people in politics that one of the plans of the Republican Party for a long time has been to destroy the teachers unions.
Adriana Nunez, these are my daughters. We attend Vina Avenue Elementary out in Arleta in the San Fernando Valley, and we're here supporting our teachers.
So all you have three girls, they're all in LAUSD schools?
Yes.
And what do you make of what's happening?
It's chaotic. Where parents are split in between taking their kids to school because they have to, and then there's some that they don't have to, so we're keeping them from school. We're supporting our teachers 100%.
So what does it mean when you say we stand with our teachers, which is a sign that your daughter's holding? What does that mean?
They're the second parents, for me, they're the second parents to my teachers. So they're fighting their cause for our children and their future. So we stand with them 100%.
And what are the conditions in the classrooms that you want the district to do something about so that teachers can actually do their jobs?
Smaller class size, more teacher's aid, and really important, nurses on a daily basis at our schools.
I've been hearing a lot of people say that, so there's just not enough nurses. So does that mean that if your child is sick, it's not guaranteed that they'll immediately be able to see a nurse?
That's right. If they're on medication, you can't. If the child cannot give themselves the medication, normally they can't. There's no one on campus to give them the medication. So that's a problem.
And so how, if this strike goes on for a while, that's three kids not in school and you're willing to stand firm and stand with your teachers?
Yes, I am. I'm going to stand firm as long as it takes. So the district needs to show us and prove to us how important my children are. That's what we want. Prove how important my three children are to you. And that's why I'm here.
So the district is trying to make it out about this is teachers not getting their way, but they're not acknowledging that this is really about the kids.
I think it's really about the kids, which is why I'm here.
I am Daniela Nunez. I'm 9 years old. And I think that the teachers, the district should listen to the teachers because the teachers work hard Monday through Friday, and it really shows a lot to the students.
Tell me about your teachers.
Our teachers, there's a lot of teachers at Vina Avenue. My teacher is Miss Barragan. She really helps us a lot anytime we need trouble. Every time we have trouble, like multiplication, addition, division.
So you're here for her?
Mm-hmm. I'm Adela Nunez, 9-5. I like my teacher because she gives us stuff to see, and she likes to give us math and do it all, and we love her so much.
That's awesome.
My name is Elena Ningus, and I am 7 years old. My school is named Vina Avenue, and I came to support my teacher because she takes care of us. She's sweet, and she lets us draw and have free draw.
Amy Cruz, Vintage Magnet.
Fanda Tomasian, Vintage Magnet. Well, we're here because most of the supplies, most of the safety things that we have to have in the classroom, we purchase from out of pocket. By the time we take care of students' personal needs and get into teaching, half of the day is gone. Most of the time is spent referring kids to the office who don't even get taken care of by the nurse. They get taken care of by the office staff. And I'm sure they have a lot more to do than just to, you know, take a temperature of a child or...
I mean, this has been happening for a long time. It's been about 6 years that I've noticed just declining, you know, personnel in the school. We have one nurse who comes on Wednesdays, and she's fabulous. She was on the line with us today. But other than that, the office staff is picking up the slack for all the kids that need to go to the nurse and take medicine. We have one psychologist who's with us one day a week to handle 900 students. It's just not enough. The resources are just not there for our kids.
So they're not, they're basically hiring, not hiring enough support staff.
Aren't enough support staff. There are psychologists who are working with five schools, nurses who are working with five schools, if they're there. The nurses themselves, most of the time, are really like weak in health. They have issues coming up, attending, and making sure that kids are taken care of. The classroom tiles are popping out of the floors. The ceilings are leaking. And there is no rug when you walk in on a rainy day. You have to put in something that you brought from home so the kids do not bring in the mud. We sweep our own rooms. We have a custodian cleaning up our room once a week only. Once a week. We do not have paper towels in our rooms. Those are all donated by the parents. Parents and teachers.
We're really lucky to have, you know, the support staff that we do at Vintage. They're really fantastic. We have a strong PTA, and they were able to purchase a library aid position so that we have a librarian every day.
The parents have purchased a librarian position.
But most schools, it's not that way. Schools without a lot of parent support, they're not getting any of that stuff.
So schools that were in lower income communities where the parents just can't afford to do stuff like that.
Absolutely.
How long can you remain on strike?
As long as a fair negotiation has been offered and they have settled together with the union and the district, we're striking. We're not getting paid on the days that we're striking. So it is something that we're doing for a greater good.
Yeah. UT! 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 UT!
That's a special report from downtown Los Angeles, where thousands of teachers marched on Monday to launch their strike. It's part of our ongoing series, Rising Up in the Streets. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.